Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Witching Hour from the Coven House. This is your host, Robin Bradley, speaking, and tonight we have a very special guest on. Now, it's going to be a comedic but yet informative episode. I have my little protege, or like Chad likes to call it, a baby witch, on with me tonight, and this girl has definitely been the Robin to the Batman through a lot of my shenanigans, to say the least. Most of my house agings and whatnot has had her involved. So it's going to be fun because we're going to be getting the other side of the spectrum, and we're going to be, you guys are going to be able to see just from an average, young, normal point of view what we do. So welcome, Ainsley. You want to give us a little bit of a rundown on who you are?
I'm currently super nervous. I don't think I classify myself as anything. I think I'm just...
So I know that when you were younger, you were actually raised Catholic in private schools. What was that like?
So I was raised in a private Catholic school. And I think I spent more time in church than I did in math class.
I know, I taught you long division.
Yeah, it was sad. But I remember we would do, like, confessionals, but we would have to do it in front of the entire class. So I remember, like, but yeah, we'd have guys come up and they were, what, 12, 11. They'd have to confess how they woke up with a stiffy and how God must forgive them and shit like that. And, like, it was ridiculous because I was like, how is me telling you what I did was wrong ever gonna, like, I'm not gonna stop what I'm doing because I told someone that I did it.
Did you always kind of feel like you were different, or did you always kind of have that inkling?
I felt like it was a giant inside joke that, like, it was your, like, coming of age somewhat. You had, especially in this town, you have to come up Catholic or Christian. And so I feel like it was definitely a point where, like, you had to go through it to see the other side.
Did you ever get baptized or get your communion?
I did both. I got baptized and I had communion in my nice pretty white dress. So I was giving myself to Jesus.
Did you do the Sunday school?
I did and I didn't.
I do remember when you walked into the shop about 2 years ago. You're a completely different person now than you were then. What kind of drew you to witchcraft? What kind of drew you to the Coven House?
I think it was definitely, like, the freedom of it all. Because, like, especially with, like, quote-unquote witchcraft, there was no, like, set, I had to do this. I had to show up for Sunday church, and I had to give my undying love and affection and sex after marriage kind of love. You know what I mean? I could be like, oh, yeah, you know, I kind of like, you know, this kind of thing, like doing candles and spells, and I like... Maybe let's not touch Ouija boards, because I'm not too into that. But also, maybe I can dabble with tarot cards instead. Like, it wasn't, I had to do it, and I had to like it, and I had to be into it. It was kind of like whatever fit.
So you're just a little curious, you kind of saw us in the news, and you were like, I gotta go check that place out?
Yeah. But also, I feel like in the world of technology, I have so much access to everything that I was like, okay, I'm gonna dabble in this, and then...
So before the shop opened up, how did you find it quite difficult finding stuff online or, like, even in town, books, whatnot, information?
Well, I feel like it's not hard to find things. It's like you have so much information and so much access to stuff, you almost don't know where to start. And even if you did know where to start, it's like, hey, how do I know this is what I need for this and this is the right way to use it?
So just pretty much information and teachy-teachies.
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 Free teachy-teachies.
How has your experiences been so far with spellcasting, since we do quite a bit of it, actually?
It's been really good. I haven't... Obviously, a lot of it has been more to counteract things that I've done. But, like, I've definitely stayed on the fluffy side of it, doing, like... love spells and, you know, like for self-love and to gain money and confidence and stuff like that. And just kind of staying on the fluffy end because as much as I would love to deal with the consequences of my actions, maybe I'm too young for that yet.
I make these wonderful Blue Lotus bath bombs down at the shop. They smell amazing. And the nice thing about these Blue Lotus bath bombs is it kind of opens up that third eye so you can start receiving those messages. A lot of people are congested from being so cut off from the world these days that sometimes we aren't receiving messages from our deities or our guides or anybody that's trying to get a hold of us at that current time. So having a Blue Lotus bath will actually open that up. And it does have a little bit of a hallucinogen factor behind it, but, you know, the effects are about 10, 15 minutes. And then afterwards, the afterglow, like just feeling connected once again with your more spiritual side after that bath is absolutely phenomenal. I know, Ainsley, you did take one of those Blue Lotus baths. How was your experience with that one?
I've taken a couple of them, for sure. Although at first I was still super hesitant about it. I almost had like a blockage where I would use it and it wouldn't work. I'd be like, I don't understand what the point of this is. I get nothing out of a nice bath because good Pisces always love, good Pisces love baths,
yeah,
right?
Bath rituals.
And, but then I think, what did I take? I took like an allergy medication. I took an allergy medication or something.
And I was, so you got high on Benadryl and had a bath?
Yeah. And then from there, it just kind of worked.
Well, yeah, the Benadryl. Oh, my God, woman.
I don't understand how it worked, but it, like, solved a problem. I don't know.
The only thing it solved was sleep and anything that was itchy.
And you. I like them. I could just be biased that I like baths.
Yeah, but have you ever done any other bath rituals?
I have.
Would you care to elaborate?
I have one that I haven't used yet. I want to do a bonding bath ritual with my significant other.
Quick, pop quiz. What is a bonding ritual good for?
Definitely for connecting with like a significant other. So for me, I am already quite tied to him. So if he's having a shitty day, I'm definitely going to have a shitty day. And so it definitely helps with, especially because of our long distance, it just keeps less anxiety at bay. Pretty much. At least that's what it does for me. Because it helps, and then I'm not worried if he's, you know, not thinking about me as much as I think about him, kind of thing.
So a bonding bath ritual is bringing two people closer together. It's like connecting two souls together and just like being that unbreakable pair, essentially. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing a bonding bath ritual like that, you would want to do with two people, essentially. Which will keep that connection nice and strong, even for long distance relationships.
Me and my demons.
You and your demons. So me and Ainsley. Me and Ainsley, we went to the cemetery because she wanted to answer a question that
I feel
I'm
like
sure
we should give preface to this, though.
No dead people would know these people.
Hold up. So to preface, for the week, I had been begging her to take me to
begging
the cemetery.
Me.
And she was like, no, Ainsley, it's not a good idea. You know, you're going at it the wrong idea. There's multiple different ways you can do it and get the same answer. And I was like, absolutely not. I need to experience a Ouija board. I've never done it before. And I was like, I need to go as far as taboo will go away from Catholic. So I basically was like, we're going to go to the cemetery at like 12 o'clock at night, and we're going to go harass some dead people.
That's exactly what we did, yep.
And so, as you heard in the past podcast, because I am normally the client or the friend
Chad
of people that have had these situations, so like Chad had spoken about in the past podcast, I showed up, guns a-blazing, and was like, this is my one and only goal, and fuck everything else. So I showed up and sat down and met a lovely lady named Claudia, and she gave me back pain for a week. But she answered questions, and some of them, nothing would happen. And I would ask them, like, do you even know who I'm talking about? And they're like, not a clue. I've been dead for 30 years. I don't know who some, oh, I can't even say his name. We're going to call him Garrett. I don't know who Garrett is.
So Garrett, hey. So what did Claudia say about this Garrett?
So this lady was like, I know nothing about you. she only knows, like, the pretty much the immediate future of your life, right?
Yeah.
They don't know anybody, their life. It doesn't know what's going on in there, because they are connected to you, right? So they're going through what they can see through you.
Yeah.
So they're not going to know if your best friend is going to win the lottery, right?
Yeah.
And if they do, it'll be a harsh guess. Like, they're dead people. They're not magical wizards. They're just little fluffy beings that are kind of there.
In a nutshell.
I don't even know.
So we get to the cemetery. We have the Ouija board, and we're doing everything right. You know, I took my shoes off, my socks, so I can ground myself. I did my meditation, my incantations in my head. Little Miss 19-year-old at the time, right beside me over here. So excited to get all of her questions answered. Oh, so excited. I'm going to talk to dead people. Oh, this is going to be great. So, yeah, we had a great time. So we're sitting there, we're doing the Ouija board, and we brought an offering, because that's what you're supposed to do when you go to a cemetery. The only thing that we forgot to do was ask the guardians of the gate permission to do this. So this is why we heeded warning in the last episode, because it was very important to do this properly. So we did not ask permission. We walked in like we owned the place. We should have just kicked our shoes off and opened the fridge, you know what I mean? So we put the Ouija board down, everything's going. So she has her eyes closed at this point, we're cross-legged, everything's fine. We're bugging poor old Claudia in the cemetery. And she's talking to us, and we're talking to them, and just this slight breeze just started to tickle the leaves on the offering that we had brought her. Remember mm-hmm. that? And it was the only little breeze that was going, and then we looked over to the right, and there was a deer.
There was, like, a couple of
them. There was a couple deer.
And they were just walking through the cemetery.
Just, like, it was so peaceful, so stagnant, so bliss. But yet so chaotic.
It was so it's like kind of, this is going to get into another whole topic, but it's kind of like when you know, you feel like somebody's there and they're watching you, but you can't see anybody staring at you, but you can tell in
you
the crowd.
You can feel the goosebumps up the back of the legs, mm-hmm. back of the arms,
so it was
up the
definitely
spine.
Like that was going on, and then deer just walked apart, and I was like, this is downtown Prince George, and there's just deer in the middle of this fenced cemetery. And then so, after we finished, and we got up and we went to leave, we were driving right out of, if you know Prince George, you were driving right out of the cemetery and took a left. And there was this massive moose that walked out in front of our car. And
like in between School District 57 and the cemetery, this giant moose just out of nowhere, like blocking us damn near on the road. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
And we, like, pulled up right beside it, and it was like, could lick the car. Yeah. And we just, like, stopped. We went, huh, and then kept driving.
It was weird. It was like, it was just like staring at us. Like,
it was,
I don't
really
know.
Weird.
It was like making sure that we saw that it was there. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So, because we didn't ask permission, we can't forget that there's repercussions to those actions. We've learned. We learned.
Oh,
what did we
yes.
learn? Ainsley, would you care to tell them what happened to you afterwards? What are you able to do now?
So, with this entire lesson that I've just actually come to a close now, moving out of my place, is there is always a hidden consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Even if you're doing something that will benefit, like, everybody in the situation, the fact that you're tilting something on the scale, you will get, like, for example, I did a love spell the other day. I got a ticket. It was ridiculous. Shouldn't have gotten a ticket for where I was parked, but I
yes.
got a ticket.
There's always repercussions.
And so, where was I going with this? I totally forgot.
Repercussions to the cemetery.
Oh, right. So I got home the night after the cemetery, and I was like, everything is fine. I felt fantastic. And then I don't even know how to explain it, but it's almost like I opened a box that was going to stay shut until I decided to open it. Kind of like when you do drugs, and you don't have any, and you have like an underlying mental illness, but since you've now done meth or whatever, you now have schizophrenia. And you didn't before.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, but for me, it was with dead people.
Yep.
So, I woke up the next morning after doing the Ouija board, and I got ready for work, and was doing my thing, walk out to my front of my trailer, and there's this big oak tree in the front of my house. And I was so scared, screamed at the top of my lungs, and there was a dead woman hanging herself from my tree.
That was a fun house aging.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I called Robin. I was like, should I call the cops? What's going on? And she was like, oh, honey, I'll be there in like 20 minutes. Just stay put. So I called in sick to work because I was like, what is going on? And she was like, oh, so that's a dead person. And this person had hung herself in the tree a couple years back. And then I was like, okay. And I also saw a little boy. And I was like, this little boy's been running around my trailer. So turns out we went on PG News, found out that a little boy a couple years back that lived in the trailer beside mine was playing in the tree that was there and had fallen from the tree because he'd climbed up and couldn't figure out how to get down. He was hanging from the tree. And you know when you're at a point where you're like, you know you could climb back down, but you're too scared because it's really high. So he let go and he hit his head on the rocks and he passed away. So he's obviously still at the tree. But it was like those things that I didn't notice, and now I'm like, oh, okay. And of course, this is like such an eerie feeling at first, because I was like, holy fuck, I feel like I just walked into the Conjuring movie. I want to turn it off. I hate this. I hate everything about it, and it is terrifying.
Now, some people will see spirits and stuff like that in like figures almost. Like, you'll almost see spirits in like shadow form. Some of them will be a whiter light, some of them will be a darker light, or like you'll have that sense. Well, Ainsley lucked out and
got the full 9 yards.
She can see them. She can definitely see them, which I find fascinating. What about your, have you ever seen them at your jobs before?
Oh boy. So I'm going to give a little preface. So some people have the ability to see dead people, and but it's not like the full thing, so they write it off. So if you ever walk down, like, for example, you're in high school and you're alone in a hallway and you're walking down the hallway, and out of the corner of your eye you swear to God you saw something or someone, and you turn around and nobody's there. It's kind of like that, but when I turn around, something is there, right? Because it takes a lot of energy for something to manifest it into a visual form. So most of the time, what I find is they hide behind objects, so they peek around doors, or they'll hide in the corner of your eye, so they only have to show a certain level or a certain part of themselves, so it takes less energy, essentially.
So for people that are experiencing this right now and feeling like they're crazy, is there anything that they could do to kind of help cope with the whole thing?
I would definitely say come down to the Coven House and talk, because we have been through the crazy, and then it kind of, I definitely still feel like sometimes that I'm being judged, and I don't want to make people uncomfortable, so I don't bring it up. But definitely if you come down to here and you talk to us, we will say, oh no, we've been there, and it definitely sucks at first, because it's like you've opened a new society that you don't know the rules, you don't know how it works, and you have pretty much no way of contacting them unless you have someone that is able to do that. But for me, it was something I'm still learning is boundaries, for sure. Yes. So especially with my house, like, I had an issue where I was not able to sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't even be at my house, really, because it was like I turned on a porch light and they all came because they knew I could see them and they wanted that attention. Good or bad. And then I was like, okay, this is my safe space. I would like to nap. I have to work in the morning. Can you leave me alone, please?
So the one day, we had lit all of our candles. We were doing a cord cutting ritual with the one that was really picking on you there. You remember that one girl?
Mm-hmm.
There was one that was really picking on her. We did a cord cutting ritual just to kind of like get it off of her.
Mm-hmm.
We also cleansed your area, etc. Mm-hmm. We even had Chad come in with the divination rods and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And we set boundaries with them, so that was a lot easier. But, so we're doing this cord cutting ritual, and I got Ainsley sitting in front of me, and I have the phone, and I'm recording it, because just weird stuff is happening at this point, and two shadow-like figures were standing behind her, and, like, that's all I could see as these flames from all the candles and everything are just burning. It was the coolest thing ever, like the weirdest feeling too. And she has her eyes closed, and I'm telling her, it's like, picture yourself separating yourself from this negative force. Picture yourself separating, and her eyes are closed. She's concentrating and stuff. And instantly I felt sick. These figures show up. She starts feeling sick, and she goes, should I open my eyes now? And I was like, nope, keep them closed. And just, it was almost like something just vacuumed it out the window. It was really cool. It was awesome. And then we did that rubbing alcohol and that Epsom salt bath as well, or burn too as well. Yeah.
It was definitely really funny, especially now looking at it, because I remember I was sitting on the floor and I was a complete newbie to this kind of a cord cutting ritual. And I was like, hey, Robin, I feel like something's like standing behind me. Is there something that I should turn around and look at? And she was like, do not open your eyes. And I was like, why? And she was like, just don't break concentration, honey.
And everything's going to be fine.
And everything was fine. It was just like, I feel like if I would have opened my eyes, I would have freaked out and ruined the whole process.
Yeah. That's
right? What I told you, keep so, your eyes closed. Especially for an overthinker, if I'm in the zone, I can't not be in the zone. Or I'm going to be like, holy fuck, Bob, hold my hand. I'm gonna cry.
Ain't. So Ainsley, do you want to tell me about your tarot cards and pendulums and how you constantly pester your poor freaking guides every
it's
day?
Not even the
I'm
guides at
not
this point.
Even kidding. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm sure your guides just go, ugh.
Okay.
When you pull out the cards.
So, I feel like, okay, I'm just gonna jump right into this.
Jump
because
in, get wet.
I don't care for
your
holding back.
Let's go.
So I am a Pisces.
Yep.
And I need to plan everything out to the fucking detail.
Like right to the the next 10 years she has this planned out.
Like to the next 10 years of my life, I need to have it planned. So I asked so it started out innocent, like all good things do. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna ask my tarot cards how my next couple of days are gonna go. And I asked them a question, and it was pretty spot on. And back to Robin, I was like, what else can you do? And she was like, oh, we'll do a Celtic spread?
Yeah, Celtic
so it's a 12-card spread, and it basically gives you your most closest future in, like, the first 6 cards or something. And then in the last 4 or 5 cards is, like, your future.
Definitely a general overview of, like, the whole thing.
It gives you the destinations, but not the journey.
Yeah.
And so I asked them a question about how things... And basically, I've planned out to every so I know so much information. And I made sure to ask the right questions and whatever source or God very much knew that I was going to get these answers and that I was going to prod and pry, so they planned for it, I assume. Anyways. So, I know every family member that is going to die in the near future. I know every person that I'm going to be married and engaged to. I know how many kids I'm going to have. I know how my work is going to plan out. I know what schooling I'm going for.
Her guides are very tired, yeah.
I know fucking everything about my life. Now, you're gonna think, wow, I must have a really boring life. Absolutely not. Just because you know the answers of where you're going does not mean you know jack shit. When I tell you, I come to her and I go, okay, I know this is supposed to happen, but are you sure? Because, like, what's going on right now is not indicating this at all. And she was like, what's Robin's quote that we're going to put on t-shirt? Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey. Because you can't plan. You can know the destination, but half the battle is the journey. You got to enjoy
90%
that.
Of the battle is the journey. Because I have gotten almost every answer that I have received has come true. Almost every single one. But when I tell you that I would have never guessed how I would have gotten to that answer. Right? Because I was having issues with my roommate, and I was like, God, I have no idea how I'm going to move out. I know I'm going to end up finding a really good place that I'm going to move out into, but I don't know how it's going to happen. And sure enough, I ended up moving into a close relative's house that I wasn't too close with, and it's been pretty much sunshines and rainbows since. Would have never guessed 2 months ago.
So things are kind of rapidly changing all the time. Like, you still get to the destination, just instead of the A to B to C, like a little, like a Pisces would like to have, it kind of goes to like A to Z to W. We're going to hang out at Q for a little bit, go see R.
Like, just because you've been there before doesn't mean you're not going there again. Because, like, I have learned so many lessons 10 or 12 times. Because I just needed the right person at the right time in the right way to tell me what I needed to hear to understand.
And see our younger generation never learning the first time.
I just like it beaten into me. Yeah, maybe it's my daddy issues. I'm not too sure.
So daddy issues aside, what's your what do you feel like works the best for you? Does the tarot cards, the pendulum, which ones do you find give you like the quickest answers? Like, since you have stressed your guides to the point where they're exhausted, which way is the easiest way for you to contact them?
It definitely depends on what you're asking and what kind of answer. If you're looking for like a detailed answer on how this is going to work out, do your tarot cards or Oracle. I don't touch Oracle because it, my tiny brain gets confused. But for solid, just point blank answers, pendulums are good because they give you yes, no, or maybe.
So you had to use a pendulum when you went back to the cemetery, because now we're realizing that that moose that just randomly came out of nowhere was in fact trying to indicate that we should go back into the cemetery and do this properly. So Ainsley ended up going back to the cemetery, and what she had done was she poured a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of tobacco as an offering, and asked permission with her pendulum with the guardians of the gate and apologize. Do you want to talk about how that apology went a little bit?
It was really hard. Because it was the first thing I'd ever done alone. Like, solidly alone. I was on my own and I had to do it. And I couldn't be there just because, I don't want to be here. But someone said that I had to be here. I had to be there because I wanted to be there and I knew something I did was wrong. Right? So, honestly, I'm still learning, and as much as I hate it, I have so much to learn because I'm so young. But definitely the apology was the hardest, because I had to articulate my words to get across how I felt. Because a good portion of me is I like to keep things fun and light, because serious conversations are hard. But it was just me stumbling over my words and trying to find the right words to apologize that made the apology authentic, right? Because I wasn't repeating what Chad told me to say. I wasn't repeating what Robin told me to say. I was just saying how I felt. I fucked up. And I didn't know how to fix it. Got advice, and now I'm trying to fix it, which is the whole point of doing something right. And so I walked through, and obviously this time walking through, being able to see dead people, it was a very different experience. It's almost like I appreciated the space I was in, because I realized it's not me walking on some dirt. There's tons of people around me, and it was really uncomfortable walking in, because once I got permission, I walked in, and it was like everyone was giving me the space and the time. And the guardian had almost said, like, I need you to give her space so she can do what she needs to do. And then after I'd walked through everything I'd done and realized where I'd gone wrong and how I would fix it in the future, it was really weird. So the cemetery downtown is a couple streets over is the Canadian Brewhouse. And I was walking away and I thought that you could, so I heard like laughing, like, you know, when you walk outside of a bar or a club or whatever, and you hear like the laughing from inside, but you aren't inside. So it's kind of like quieter. It was kind of like that. So I just assumed I could hear the brew house, assuming that it was right behind me, forgetting that Superstore was there and it was further away. So it kind of sounded like that. And I was like, oh no, that's actually the people. Cause it's like the moment I was done and I was ready to leave, it's like they were all like, okay, we can talk now. And they came out of the woodworks and they were like almost celebrating that I'd done it correctly, because it was very light, fluffy, and like fun chatter.
So instead of a graveyard, it was a raveyard.
No, but it, like, I feel like graveyards aren't something that are supposed to be sad. Like, don't get me wrong, it's sad when you first put them there, but I think it's fun because it's a way you get to consistently still have a person that isn't on this level in your life anymore, right? And it's not like, oh my gosh, they're dead, they have no more fun. No hangovers when you're dead.
right? I like to kind of look at graveyards more of like a train station where everyone's just kind of waiting around. You go, you visit, you hop on a train, or I guess it would be like a spiritual train, and you would just like go to different destinations, but you always come full circle back. I thought that was a lot of fun. So do you kind of have any regrets with that, with you being able to see dead people now?
Honestly,
is it a curse, a gift?
I know in my heart that it's probably a gift, so I can understand. Like, we're not going to talk about past lives, but Robin and I have both solidly agreed that we think we're both on our last life.
Yes.
Because we
are tired.
It's not that we're tired. We've been here before.
Yes.
It's like when people say, oh, you're really knowledgeable and sound like you're a lot older than you actually are. It's because I've been here before. I've learned this before. And it's like, oh my God, I have to do this again. And it's good because I feel like I'm teaching a lot and I'm learning a lot, but I'm still in the point that I need to be in.
You've been experiencing a lot of déjà vu recently. So déjà vu is actually a French word, and it is French for already seen.
Yeah, it's really nice, though, because especially for me, I understand that, because I'll be doing something, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this. I feel nervous. This is out of my comfort zone. And then I'll get déjà vu, and I'll be like, oh, okay, everything is going to be fine, right? Because then I know anything beyond that point was supposed to happen. Well, whether it's something horrible, like my father passes away, like my car breaks down, or I get broken up with by a boyfriend, or anything like that, then I know that I learned my lesson from that situation, and I take something from it. Because, what did you say? Failure was a stand?
Failure
first
is
attempt
just
at learning?
First attempt in learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why if you're not failing, you're not doing something right. Now, I did a hex long time ago when I first opened up the shop. I love telling the story just because it's a nice example of repercussions to an action, right? So I had constructed this Coven House candle, and it was right down to the scents, everything that we had picked. And I had taken my bamboo sheet, I wrote out my hex, and I took that bamboo sheet and I burnt it in the flames. Now, burning this will actually catalyze it to manifest it, to make it happen. So I burnt the whole sheet, sparkled, everything. It was wonderful. I could tell it worked really good. And then I had a customer walk in and I turned my head, and I had really long hair at the time, and my hair fell in the flames and actually burnt half my head of hair. But I tell you, boy, oh boy, did that hex ever work. So if you guys are going to play, please play responsibly, because it could even come down to, and I loved my hair, definitely your prized possession. But if you want something bad enough, and that's kind of where black witches kind of tend to to sit around with stagnantly type deal. It's is the consequences worth the action? So it's you got to think about those things. You got to think about is the spell that I'm doing going to bite me in the ass at a later time? Is my hair going to burn off? Is my house going to burn down? Am I going to be haunted? Am I going to have to see dead people for the rest of my life? Now, with you being able to see dead people, I think you're my greatest bloodhound when I take you sage housing. Housing sage.
I am definitely... I love that.
Ainsley's sick 'em.
My boss put it the best way. I, most of the time, can be like a bull in a china shop. I will come in, I will tell you what you need to hear, I will give you all of the tools to fix it, but I will leave you broken at the end. I will leave you needing to fix everything because of what you're doing.
Yep.
So, for example, Robin and I just did a house sage a little while ago with this lovely man. And can I give his situation?
Yeah, you could talk about his situation.
So this man was out with the boys. He went out on a fishing trip, but obviously it was cold, so he just spent camping. And then he was like, I want to go figure out what spirits are. So he was very, very, very drunk, a little bit high, and he ran into the forest and was begging for something to give him attention. And so he came home with a skinwalker. And they can come in many forms, not just what you see on TikTok and things like that. So this one came in what some people like to call succubus or whatever. Mainly it's just something that drains your energy and uses you it kind of uses you as a catalyst, I guess.
Yeah. Your energy.
Yeah, so he contacted Robin and was like, so I have these dreams about these things that are happening to me, and they're like night terrors, and they're horrible, and it's giving me paralysis, and it's affecting my wife, and I just need you to come fix this. So he showed up to the house, and it was a weird-looking house, and I showed up, and I immediately was like, Robin, I feel like the bedroom is on this side of the house. And she was like, no, because that's the living room. Yeah. Sure enough, the bedroom was on that side of the house. It just looked darker. And showed up, and the dog was going apeshit, was losing its mind. And as most know, animals are a lot more foretelling for that. So definitely, we were like, okay, something's definitely going on. It might be nothing, it might be something. So we started doing a cord cutting kit, and not gonna lie, when I first met him, it was kind of like he was more intrigued about the situation than wanting to fix the situation. Which, don't get me wrong, a lot of it is interesting, but some people love the pain of the situation.
Yeah, they want to see how far they can push it.
They want to see how far they can push it and how far things can go. Which,
as I'm pointing at Ainsley.
Which I've done multitude of times, because I want to see how far I can push them.
Because it takes 10 or 12 times to learn.
I want to see how much they love me. I want to know how they feel about the situation. So I will
push. That's a Pisces thing.
It is a Pisces
thing.
That's
not a people thing.
That's a Pisces thing. I will push them to the brink of fucking death. And then as they look at me begging for me to save them, I'll go, oh, you do love me. And it's horrible. And it probably was a teen thing that I did too. So we entered the house and we were doing our thing. And I looked at Robin and I was like, hey, Robin. And she was like, yeah. And I was trying really hard not to freak out the pregnant wife. I was like, can you come here for a second? And she was like, what? You can just say it out loud. And I was like, Robin, there's something staring at me in the bedroom. And she goes, just give me one second. And she pulled me aside. And I was like, yeah, it's behind the door. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. Whatever I saw did not look like his wife. He was convinced that whatever it was looked like his wife, but it did not. And so I pulled her aside and we started doing the Palo Santo and the sage.
Sacred tree.
So she takes the Palo Santo and she's going around the house and it's kind of dark flames, but nothing too fancy. And when you see it, when it's clear, it means that the room is safe, it's cleansed, it's good. But if it's dark black smoke, it normally means that you're getting rid of something. And it wanted to stay. So she's going around the house and it's all pretty much clear smoke. And then, sure enough, she goes into the bedroom and it starts going significantly darker.
Like engulfed
darker. And then she goes behind the door. And sure enough, it's like thick, long, like liquidy sludge coming off of this smoke, and it's like there's ash falling from the roof,
but nothing touched the ground. I wanted to keep that ash.
Nothing touched the ground. It would, like, I'm gonna refer to Supernatural. It's like when that woman was on the ceiling and she was burning. It's kind of like what we were doing to this thing, but you couldn't see it, but you could see the smoke coming off of this thing. And sure enough, also, please open a window if you're staging. Please, yes. Always open a window. It's like you're giving it an exit. If not, you're chasing it around the house, and it's not a fun game. Yeah. But it was really awesome to see, and especially for her, she was like, I knew it was in the bedroom, but I couldn't prove it. And this was a good point, because it was something tangible they could see, yeah, that they could understand, right? Because there was no reason why it should start burning black soot like that.
The wife was pretty amazed, yeah.
She was pretty amazed, and it was really nice. And then we left, and sure enough, we get a text in the morning, and she's like, I've never slept so good in my whole life. And then she goes to have a bath, and she has the biggest baseball-sized bruise in a perfect circle on the back of her shoulder. And she was like, yeah, I think it was not liking to leave.
No, it didn't really want to leave. It lived outside their house for a little bit, and then eggshells. Eggshells got rid of it.
Eggshells.
Yep. Yeah, that was awesome. That was a good time. So, yes, my greatest little bloodhound right there, that's for sure. I've done numerous, numerous house sages, and just experienced, like, really cool things like you did that one time. I was glad that you were able to come with me on that one, so you can kind of see why I'm so freaking exhausted the next day when you're pelting me with questions about who you're going to marry when you get older. that's uncomfortably true. What can I say? I'm a romantic in a world full of technology.
All right. So in the world of Ainsley, if you were to describe yourself as a type of witch, what kind of witch would you describe yourself as? Seeing dead people and all.
Seeing dead people and all. Honestly, I'm just... I can't even describe myself besides anything other than a Pisces. I'm a full lover. I will give you the world while telling you that you're standing on my foot. Right? So, I mean nobody any harm. I don't ever... Like, the moment I notice someone is unhappy with me, I will give you the world just for you to tell me that I am all forgiven and that it will all go back to normal. Because I don't like people being upset with me.
Okay, what... Yeah, so, I know you have an altar. What does your altar kind of look like?
Oh my god, this is a horrible question because I should be... See, this is the thing that's nice about witches, though, is you don't have to have anything. Like, I finally...
My little stash. You got some sage going on. You got some candles.
That's just because my power keeps going out. Because something was going on in the house. Yeah. That was a whole other conversation. But
you got your pendulum. You got your tarot cards.
So
books.
I have.
You have a tackle box of stuff. That's what your altar is.
Okay, I am. So country. Nobody can tell me I'm not country because I have a fish tackle box full of witchy supplies. So I shit you not, I went to Corlane's and I was like, I need a box to put all my herbs, all of my candles, my lighters, my matches, my crystals, everything. And so I went to Corlane's and I picked up a fishing tackle lure box and I labeled it all on the outside of the lid. And so I have tackle box full of witches stuff.
So an altar doesn't necessarily have to be a table. It could also be a tackle box, a to-go box.
Like, because I'm always on the move. I'm always doing things. I'm always hiking. I'm fishing. I'm snowboarding. And I want to do things as the moments arise where I need to do the thing.
Ainsley
correct?
Also has a little protection ruin behind her ear, which keeps her safe like a full body condom so she doesn't reproduce.
don't jinx my odds any more than they're already jinxed against me. But... So I was doing all of these things and I was going into Alaska and I was hiking and of course going into deep dark woods, you can contract things like this lovely gentleman had. And, I decided to get a protection rune. So it's pretty much the best way I can describe it to anybody that's walking. It's like a full body condom.
Yeah.
Just
kind of bounces off you. Mm-hmm. So, like, any kind of hexes or whatever that people put on you, it's a lot easier to break. You just did an egg cleanse recently because you were kind of feeling a little dirty there, so we had you do an egg cleanse there.
Yeah.
And it turned out pretty clean, so it's nice to see that your blood-bonded sigil is actually, like, assisting you through your life, and you don't even really have to think about it.
Yeah, and it's also a lot nicer because I've found that it actually protects me from certain situations because I used to be so nervous about running into wildlife when I was out hiking. And now I've found that I'm not as worried about it. Like, it's almost like if I could have a giant white flag attached to me in forms of, like, outer things. It's like, I'm kind of just minding my own business. So, in forms of, like, wildlife, I've never had any issues so far. Like, I think I've come across one bear, and it kind of just looked at me and walked the other direction. So
for anybody wanting to do blood-bonded sigils, they are symbols for protection or for bringing up your metaphysical awareness or, like, whatever you are kind of encountering. There's kind of a sigil for that. I am tattooed on the left side from shoulder down to butt cheek of all my sigils that keep me safe when I'm doing my house sages, so I don't bring anything home with me. I do have an 8-year-old at home. I don't want him to contract anything. So always, if you're going to be doing a blood-bonded sigil, you're going to want to do it on your left side. The left side is for receiving. Your right side is for giving. So if you're going to give anybody your energy, like, you can give energy, your energy to anybody. All you have to do is concentrate, and you give them your right hand. onto their left hand to transfer the energies appropriately.
So, for example, Robin is a great bowling expert, and she was on a 5-row streak. We decided to high-five her best friend. All of a sudden, her best friend started having 5-row streaks, and she was losing consecutively.
I know.
So, but why don't you tell us about your sigils? Because you have more than one.
I have 6 sigils. I have one for protection. I have one for banishing. I have one for bringing up my metaphysical awareness. So then that way it's a little bit easier for me to envision and see where the negative's coming from, kind of what I have to focus on. This is what I did before I had my little bloodhound in front of me here. I have one for harmonizing my area, and just all together, all combined, it makes it so, like, I do have essentially like a full body condom on me as well, but then it makes it so I can handle the situation appropriately too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't think, like, I think the only thing that I have to say, like, so far about everything is, like, especially when you're new in it, just incorporate, like, just suggest the idea to your significant other or your family members, because people tend to, like, especially now being new into it, I feel like people are a lot more open nowadays
to the
situation, especially if you just open as, like, I'm just looking into it because I'm curious, right? I will forever thank my significant other, as Robin does a little heart with her hands.
You're talking about me.
No, I'm not talking about you.
I was feeling... So,
but yes,
so
your mentors, your friends, your significant others, it's really nice to have a good support system. And lucky for me, even though we don't see eye to eye during certain things, he has been so, so supportive. And I will forever love him for that. But it's nice because he helps me question things. So I go, well, actually, why do I feel this way? Why do I see things this way? And how does he see? So it's good because then I'm constantly cross-referencing my facts for why I feel that way. So sometimes it's not a bad idea to have a family member that has opposite religion, because then it's something that you can work on together and you can share your different perspectives.
So going from one spectrum to the other, going from, like, Christianity and Catholicism all the way to the deep depths of witchcraft.
The deep, deep coffin nail depths.
Coffin nails, which we do have some for sale down at the Coven House.
I do not recommend that in the slightest, unless you wish to randomly have cancer that is benign or to lose a toe.
So could you say that you have seen a lot more proof, I guess, on the witchcraft side versus the Catholic side? Going from one depth to another?
That is a big conversation. I feel, okay, this is going to make a lot of people mad.
Well,
but this is how I truly feel. And if anybody loves me, they will forever stand by me, just because difference in opinions exist. And if I have to believe in your God, you have to believe in mine.
Now
or
I'm
at least
hard.
Be happy for me for having a difference in opinion.
Good.
But I believe Catholic and Christians were created by powerful people that needed to persuade a good portion of population.
Yeah.
So that comes into when you first meet someone, you're going out and you're like, are you liberal or are you conservative? Immediately it will tell you a good portion about them because it's how they feel. And people tend to categorize themselves within a certain section of that. So if someone tells me they're Catholic, I immediately know that, okay, they don't need to have a lot of facts to follow a cult. Because if you look at it, this, like, nothing, everything, every religion should be updated as times continue and people learn more about certain things. For example, witchcraft is always evolving. So if we, like, I know tons of spells that involve technology and using text messages and stuff like that.
Microwaves, emails, text messages.
And, like, even that, though, is just, like,
even
things,
a Zimmerbot.
Exactly. Like, things evolve as people learn and understand that if something stays stagnant and stays the same for a long period of time, eventually something would become outdated. It's old-fashioned. It's not the way it should be.
Because we keep evolving.
Exactly. So given that such an old, old religion has stayed the same for so long, I'm not saying that your God isn't real. I'm saying that the way you worship and believe in such should evolve with the times. So, for example, abortion is a big topic in the Catholic world. And I feel like giving people the freedom to choose is a good point. Because, like, if your God loved me, no matter what, then I should be able to fail and make choices. And because if he loved me no matter what, then I'm allowed to make mistakes. We're not perfect. And God knows I've been a horrible teenager, so I've made more than enough mistakes, and I've learned a handful of them. So I refuse to be a part of a religion that refuses to change and realize that not everything they've said in the past is carved in stone.
Well said. So last question before we shut her down for the night here, Miss Ainsley. Over the past couple years, are you happy you walked into the Coven House, or any regrets at all?
Oh, the past couple years. Oh my gosh. I am so happy because I feel like, obviously under the world that everything needs to happen, and everything that ever happened was always meant to happen. It's like the burnt toast theory. People that know what that means know what that means. But yeah, I'm really happy because I feel like it helped me grow as a person, because like I went through my rebellious teen stage a little later than most people. So yeah, I'm really happy that I did, because I got to see a whole different world of people and a whole different community of loved ones that now care for me so much, and it's awesome.
Well, Ainsley, it was a pleasure having you on as my baby witch.
Oh my gosh, Chad's gonna hate me so much, and you're doing it on purpose.
I am. Thank you so much for coming on. And if anybody has any questions or anything, please call or come down to the Coven House. At any point, we're happy to answer any and all questions.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, thank you.